I want to jump into our text this morning now as we now turn our attention to the Word of God. So Gary, one of our elders, Gary Stamps, is going to be reading for us out of Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 19. So if you've got your Bibles, and I hope that you do, please turn there to Matthew chapter 16. And church, would you please stand with me out of respect for God's Word as Gary reads for us this morning.
Good morning. Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 19. He, Jesus, said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Matthew 16, 15 to 19. Church, hear the word of the Lord, our God, and thank him for this means of grace, this wonderful gift he gave us.
Join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. And Father, it's easy for us, at least I know the temptation in my own heart, to come to your word to gain knowledge, to gain facts, sometimes even to stand above it at times and seek to critique it or to think about it in terms of just intellectual things. But Father, we are to come to your word as humble children, to submit ourselves to your word. And that's hard for us, at least it's hard for me oftentimes. And you've called us to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. And so as we now come to this moment and this time in our service, as we come together as the body, your body, the body of your son, Father, I pray that you would help us to hear your voice, not mine, not Sean's, not anybody else's, but Father, your voice for your people, for our good, for our encouragement, for conviction, for challenge, all of the things that your word is profitable for. And we pray that you would bear fruit in the lives of your people this morning. We need you to do this work in us. And we pray all these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So just want to review a couple of things that this text reminds us of as we kind of continue to move on in this sermon series of Bold Expectations. Now, something I want to kind of mention. When I talk about review, it's important for us to review. And the reason why it's important for us to review is because if you're anything like me, it's really, really easy for us to come to church, we hear a sermon, we hear some particular thing in a sermon, and then we move on to the next thing without ever letting it sit in our hearts, without ever coming back to it. I can't tell you how many times I have walked out of a service on Sunday morning, rarely to think about those things again, certainly not to think about how they're going to impact my life and how I need to change. And so if we are all similar to that, which I think many of us are, we need to constantly be thinking about what it is that we've said as it leads to the next component. And this text, man, it does a great job of reminding us of some of the things we've already talked about. And now, an important thing here. I know some of you may be going like, typically this church is an exegetical. We like to go through books of the Bible. That has not changed. We will continue to do that. We'll get back to that. We plan to get back into the book of Luke sometime in late August, early September. But we believe that as shepherds of the church, our goal, our call is to hear the voice of the Lord and share the things that he's leading us towards and to teach the things and to shepherd the people of God in the things that he is calling us to shepherd. And we believe this is a unique season right now. And he's called us to some specific things. And that's why we've moved to some more topics that we think is important for us as the church as we lead into this new season. So if you're wondering why this is a little different over the past few months, that's the reason. But we will get back to that. But in terms of what does this remind us of in regards to some of the things that we have already discussed, the first and foremost is this, that he has a goal, doesn't he? Jesus has a goal. He has a purpose. I think that's the way we said it a few weeks ago. Jesus' goal is building the church. That's his goal. Now, we can talk about building the church in all kinds of different ways. We can talk about building the church in us as individuals, as we grow in maturity, as we grow in our strength, as we grow in our knowledge of God, as we grow in our dependence on God. But we can also talk about the building up of the church in regards to the building up of it externally, new people being added to the church. This is the point of this text. This is Jesus' goal. This is one of the things, this is one of his primary goals. And oftentimes this text gets used to think about, and people will use this to say, this is the reason why we have a pope, right? Because Peter is the rock on which the church is founded. Listen, there's all kinds of things in Scripture that say that that's not true. That's not what we're going to talk about today. What we know all out throughout Scripture is that Jesus is seen as the foundation of the church. Amen? Not Peter, Jesus. Jesus is the cornerstone of the church, and every single thing that is built upon it, every single person is built upon it, rests upon Jesus. It is the confession of Jesus as the Son of God and the Son of God himself that the church will be built upon. We are just bricks in that building, amen? That's who we are. We rest upon the work of Jesus Christ. This is why he came. He came to establish his kingdom through his people, the church. We discussed this a few weeks ago, but I don't think this can be overstated enough. Luke 19:10 reminds us that for the Son of Man came to do what? Seek and save the lost. He died in order to take upon himself the debt of our sin. He died, in other words, to become a propitiation for us. This is what John says in 1 John 2, verse 2. He says, he is the propitiation for our sins, not only for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. To state this goal a little bit different, let me paraphrase something that I recently read. The church doesn't have a mission. Now when I heard that first, I was like, what? No, that's not true. No, listen though. The church doesn't have a mission. Mission doesn't come from the church. The church comes from the mission and the work of Jesus. And it is from mission and in light of mission that church is understood. Do you hear that? The church comes from mission. It doesn't have a mission. We're only here because Jesus made this statement 2,000 years ago that he will build his church. And he has been about that work for the past 2,000 years. This is his goal. This is his desire. This is what he's been accomplishing for the past 2,000 years. He is building his church, his kingdom for his glory. It is his goals. It is his goal, not ours, and that is not a debatable thing. Therefore, it should be your goal and it should be my goal to continue to build the church, not only internally, but externally. Now, one of the things we haven't talked a lot about, but I think it's important to say, especially in this season, is regarding this goal, we recognize that our enemy will do everything he possibly can to hinder it, won't he? Like, that's what he's about. He's going to seek to get us to focus upon ourselves. He is going to seek to bog us down in sin and the cares of this world and securities and the comforts of this world. He is going to seek to make us fearful. He is going to seek to press us to give ourselves to other goals, sometimes not bad ones, but other goals. He's going to want to make us stop worshiping and stop praising him. He might seek to get us to believe like we don't need to be together. It's not that important. You know, just watching it online is good enough. And listen, those of you who are online, I'm not trying to attack you. I know this is a unique season, but it's easy to hear a temptation where the enemy would say, hey, you don't need to be with the people of God. Like, just watching a sermon online is sufficient. And here's the thing, and no, it's not. We are to be the body of Christ. We are to be together as the body of Christ. Why community is so important, yet the enemy is trying to get us to focus on different things, to be different than what has called us to be. He aims to make our faith personal and keep us quiet. And it's just about us, right? It's about our own maturity. It's about our own growth. He would love to keep us paralyzed in these ideas. This isn't what God has called us to. Listen, an important component, the enemy doesn't have to get us to deny our faith, does he? Sometimes that's what we think he's trying to do. He doesn't need to get you to deny your faith. He doesn't need to get me to deny my faith. All he needs to do is get us focused on something besides our faith. None of us would turn our back on Jesus, I don't think. I hope, I pray. But he doesn't need to. He just needs to get you to turn your eyes away from Jesus and to fix them on something else besides Jesus, even if it's good. We have an enemy who's trying to get us to focus on something else. Man, I feel this temptation. I feel the pull to get focused on other things. I feel the pull to feel these fears and to get pressed into these things. And then what happens is we start to do this, and we get focused on other things besides the goal that he has given us. We begin to wonder then, why don't we see God working? Why don't we see miraculous things happening? Maybe it's because we're not doing the things that he has called us to do. Now, if it's his goal to build his church for his glory, then we know that it will be done in his power, amen? This is what we talked about a few weeks ago, and I'm going back to this. It's his power. It's an important thing for us to be reminded to anchor to. Remember back in Acts chapter 4. Remember when the church gets together and they pray. They pray that God would do mighty things, mighty works. They recognize that they couldn't build the church on their own. They recognize that they simply needed to be obedient to proclaim the gospel and then say, God, do your thing. You work. You move. And the reason I love this text is because of the emphatic statements that are in this text. Man, we just read really quickly by it, but listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 16. He says, I will build my church. That is an emphatic statement. We just sung a song about how when God speaks, it happens. He says, I will build my church. Hell will not prevail against, no matter what the enemy throws at us. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. We have his current goal to build his church in this moment, leading us to the ultimate goal of giving us a new heaven and a new earth. That's our hope. That's our inheritance. That's our joy. So here comes the question for us. If we know his goal, and we know that he is the one who builds his church, and we know that it's done in his power, what are we supposed to do? Nothing? Like just sit and wait for him to do some mighty work in this world and engage and show himself to make the rocks cry out? What are we supposed to do? I want to give you an analogy before I explain it, but I think you'll probably see where I'm going. I don't know how many of you have ever sailed a boat before. I know in Kansas, it's not something we do a whole lot, but nonetheless, I don't know if you've ever had that privilege, you've ever had that opportunity. I have not, or had not, until about 16 years ago when me and my wife went to the Bahamas on our honeymoon. And a part of our resort was that you could sail a little boat that they had there on the beach. It was one of those things, I don't know what they were thinking, giving two Kansans free rein on a sailboat in the ocean. But hey, you know what? They trained us for like 5 minutes. They gave us a deep training on how to sail a boat. And so we thought, man, this is a great idea. Who doesn't think it's a great idea to do that, right? So we get in this sailboat in the Bahamas, and we make it out about, after we can't stand anymore, and we raise the sail and the boat tips over. And we did that 2 or 3 times, just trying to get the boat to stay up. Finally, we get the boat to stay up, and we're just cruising along, going great. And then suddenly we realize, we're getting really far from shore. And here we are, we're just sailing, and we start going, well, we need to get back to shore. And so we kind of point the boat back to the shore and then realize, oh yeah, I forgot. Didn't he tell us something about zigzagging instead of trying to go straight? And so we start doing this, and we're zigzagging all over the place, trying to figure out how to get back to shore, which we did. That's why we're here. But we got back to shore like 300 yards away from where we were supposed to. But I just made it so I was happy. Now, here's my point, and there is a point to the story. We didn't make that boat move, did we? Like, that wasn't in our strength. We just struggled to get the thing up. We struggled to even try to steer it. The reality of it is, it was the wind that made it move. It was the wind that made the boat go. Listen. Our role isn't to do just more stuff in our own strength or to learn more scripture. He has called us to raise the sails that the Spirit of God might work. That's our goal, brothers and sisters. We're not called to do these things, but we're not also called to sit still, are we? We're not called to not do anything. We're not called to just sit in pews. We're called to participate. That's what we've been talking about so much over the past several weeks. We've been called to raise the sails in faithful obedience that he might move us as the church. Now, what are things that we do to raise the sails? Things like prayer, repentance, proclamation of the word of God, meeting the needs of others, loving one another the way Christ has called us to, fixing our eyes upon him, reorienting our lives towards his goal, and so much more. This is hard at times, isn't it? It's hard at times for us to just go, okay, my job as a believer in Jesus Christ is to raise the sails that he might push me like that little boat, that he might move us like that little boat. He might move us in the direction he would call us to. And we're going to talk starting next week about the practicalities of those specific things, because don't we want to be a church moved by the Spirit of God in accordance with his power, not our own? And so we need to be faithful to raise the sails. To do that, we have to submit ourselves to his ways, not ours. Then we can begin to have expectations that he will do what I think we all desire for him to do, which is to build his church. Amen? That's what we want to see. It involves a lot of movement, but this movement has to be in line with the means of grace that he has given to us, that he has chosen to us, not ours, not our own, because it's his power that we need, because it's for his glory that we want to see it happen. And here's the beauty of it, is this is what our confidence stems from. Amen? His goal, his power, his Spirit. This is our confidence. You remember the video we watched last week? Maybe some of you didn't catch it. I actually want to play it again because there's some specific things that I want to point out. And so I want you to watch this video again that we watched last week, just a couple of minutes, and then I'm going to point something out really specific that stuck out to me. So, Brian? All right, so I'm gonna guess that every one of us had something that stuck out to us in that video. Let me tell you what stuck out to me the first time I ever saw that video. There's this little part where this little guy or gal, I don't know, just some figure sits in a chair, which becomes a trebuchet. You know what a trebuchet is? It's a catapult, remember? And he goes flying across the ocean and like lands into like Africa or something like that. Like that was what stuck out to me. You might think, man, that's a little strange, but here's why that stuck out to me. Is for us to be obedient to the things God calls us to be, it's terrifying, isn't it? Like, shouldn't it be terrifying? Like, think about being launched across the ocean in a trebuchet. That's a scary thought. Landing is a scary thing to think about. Like, us doing what God has called us to do, us being what God has called us to be, should be scary. Because it's not something we do in our own strength. It's not something we do in our own power. It's something that we are literally thrust into to be obedient to His call. And I just watched it. I was like, man, like, I feel that fear. I feel, even as we think about this, like, what is that going to actually look like if we actually started letting ourselves be thrown into the mission field, not necessarily in India, but right where you live, in your own homes, or your, as doctors or nurses or teachers or whatever God has called you to be. Like, what does it look like if we let Him, if we raise the sails and let Him begin to work through us? So I love this text in regards to this. Because not only do you see in this text that God is going to be the one who builds His church, we also see something very clear that should eliminate all of our fear. Jesus says very clearly that the gates of hell will not prevail. It won't. Doesn't say it won't try. Doesn't say there won't be challenges, but the gates of hell will not prevail. Now, there's two components to this that are unbelievably important for us to recognize as we anchor our confidence into Christ. One, it will not prevail because it shows that our enemy cannot stop what Jesus is going to do. He cannot. He has been trying through martyrdom and distraction for millennia, and we're still sitting here as believers in Jesus Christ in His face. Amen? Like, it won't prevail. He's going to try. He's going to try to distract us. He's going to try to distract the church. And there are seasons in the history of the church that it seems like He's done a good job with it. But the promise that God has given to us in this text is that it won't prevail. Jesus isn't threatened, and neither should we be. The second component of this that I think helps us eliminate our fear is this. What is the thing that most of us fear more than anything else? It's death. It's death. We talk about the gates of hell and Jewish imagery. This is one of those things that reminded them of that aspect of death, that it's going to come. Brothers and sisters, Jesus conquers that fear when He conquers the grave. That's the reality for us. He conquers our fear of death when He conquered the grave. Death won't prevail on us any more than Satan can prevail upon us. His kingdom, His weapon, will collapse, and it will fall. We simply wait and long for that day to happen. Death won't prevail because Jesus defeated it when He rose from the dead. Man, I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of this every single day. I need to be reminded that He has defeated death every day, not only in my own life, just personally in regards to my own sin and my own struggles with sin, but as I also deal with the fear of what it's like to begin to answer the call that God has put upon my life and my family's life, because it's terrifying to be launched. And we need the confidence that is in Christ. That's why I love that little picture of the guy being thrown across the ocean. The reality of it is that when we're catapulted, when we are sent, when we are launched, Christians should sacrifice. We should risk giving up all things, including our lives. We should be willing to do that so that the world might look on the things that we're doing and say, man, you guys are crazy. Why would you do that? Why would you not build yourself a multi-million-dollar house? It's fine if you have one. I'm just not trying to. I'm just saying, instead of giving your money away, why would you risk adopting a child? Why would you risk going to another country? Why would you risk giving yourself over in these different ways? Like, the world should look at us and say, man, what are you doing? Following Jesus takes sacrifice. It takes dying to ourselves. It takes living for a whole lot of biblical things that are totally contrary to everything this world would tell you to pursue. It means leaving our comfort. It means losing our security. I mean, listen, he might not throw you into Afghanistan, but sometimes your own home is just as scary. Sometimes your neighbor feels just as scary, doesn't it? And you know your neighbor doesn't know Jesus, and you run in to share the gospel or to begin to love them the way that Christ has called you to. Sometimes loving a brother or sister in the church is just as scary because they might turn on you and hurt you. Yeah, this is what God has called us to, and he has given us confidence in the fact that he has said, gates of hell won't prevail. Death, nothing. There is nothing to fear. This is the kind of life that he's called us to. And this is the part that excites me, and this is the part that I think should excite us. And it is the fact that what drives our willingness to step out and engage is our confidence in him. But let me ask a couple questions. These aren't rhetorical. I want to ask them legitimately to us as the church. Do you want to see the lost come to Jesus? You can say amen if you want. Do you want to see your kids become strong disciples? Do we? Do you see your grandkids become strong disciples? Do we want to experience the fullness of joy in Christ? Do we want to see his mighty hand? People don't want to see that one so much, but that's okay. Do you believe that he can and will raise, if we raise the sails, if we bend our knees to submit to his ways, do you believe he still can do those things in his church? I do. And I believe that's what will happen. And I believe that as we do that, and this is the part that excites me, is we will experience the fullness and completeness of our joy as we see him do amazing things. And have you ever wondered what drove Peter? Peter, the guy who confesses Jesus is Lord and Jesus tells him these promises, is crucified upside down. He gave up everything to follow Christ. Have you ever wondered what it was that drove Peter or Paul or Timothy? What drove William Carey, Hudson Taylor, Lottie Moon, Gladys Iward, maybe Mother Teresa? People like Harriet Tubman, and I could go on and on and on and on. The joy came in the glory of God being revealed as they threw away the world and found him, and as they walked with him and in accordance with his will and his calling upon their lives. That's where the joy came. It doesn't come from more stuff for us. And if we want to experience the goodness of God's joy, this is what we must step into. And I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to experience that. I'm excited to walk in that. As we see and witness his power, as we walk in accordance with his grace, his calling, his mercy, his strength, as we see the salvation of others. Their joy came in seeing God's hand. In the power of the Spirit, accomplishing the building up of his church and his purposes in their lives. You know why I'm excited about what I feel the Lord is leading us to? Because I believe we will see those mighty and miraculous things. Amen. Someone else does too. I get super pumped about that. I believe that we will see his faithfulness as we step out. I believe that we will witness him become the father to the fatherless, to the orphan and the foster child. That we will see him become the husband for the single mother. I believe we will see liberation for those who are addicted. I believe we will see the sick healed. I believe that we can see the lost found. I believe that we can see the divided reconciled, the poor cared for, the lonely find community in the faith and fellowship of the believers. I believe we can see the burdens carried for and cared for. I believe that we can see genuine love within the body of Christ because that's his goal. And he said he'd do it. He said, I will. Let's raise the sails. Let us aim to raise the sails that the Spirit of God might move us in his power towards his goal with his confidence in bold and risky faith as his people. And if you are a graduate this year, graduating, sell out to this story, not the one of money and success. We must humble ourselves, though, submit to his ways to be his people. We have to raise the sails and watch him move. We must proclaim that it is no longer us who lives, but it is Christ who lives in us. Next week, we're going to begin to talk about specific things that we need to do and we can grow in. Some things that personally, as I've walked through studying them, I've been deeply challenged in when it comes to what it looks like to raise the sails of in my own life that God could use me. And I'm so excited for all of us to engage in that together. But here's how I want to end our time today. I'm actually going to call Ryan out and he's going to begin to play a little bit for us. But I'm going to call where I think we all need to start, where we should always start. Because if it's his goal, his power, our confidence is in him, then we need to start with prayer. Amen? And so here's what we're going to do, something that's a little different, a little unique for us. I mean, we do it sometimes here within the church, but there's going to be a couple of questions, four questions that show up on the screen, and we're going to pray for these things. Now, here's the thing. I want you to take these questions home with you, and I want you to pray these things throughout the week. These questions are here to help us think about what to pray for and what to pray over. And we're going to take some time to pray corporately in and for these things. And if you're at home watching this, I invite you to pray these things with us. It doesn't matter that you're in your home. God can hear you, just like he hears us. But I want us to cry out corporately for God to do these things, for God to move in these ways. And so we're going to pray for the Spirit to move. We're going to pray that God would reveal areas in our lives where we need to change so that we might raise the sails of our lives. We're going to pray that we would find our confidence in him and him alone. And we're going to pray for a new day of God's hand moving mightily in our lives and in this church. And we're going to do it right now. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to encourage you. I know we're not supposed to like really get close to each other. So if you want to pray out loud with the people that you came with, right, your family, I'm going to encourage you to do that. If you aren't comfortable with that, that's fine. Or if you're by yourself, that's fine. I'm going to encourage you to pray silently for these things here in a moment. I'm going to lead us through each one. And I just want us to pray corporately. And again, don't be ashamed to raise your voice and pray with your families, pray with your kids, pray with your spouses. Those you came with, or pray alone. But I want us to start with prayer. So join me. Father, in the next few moments of stillness, Father, I want us to begin to pray that your Spirit would move. I cannot even begin to express the excitement that I would have to begin to see that happen in a miraculous way. I think there's so many in this church that feel the same way. So Father, we pray that you, the one who spoke this world into existence, the one who said through your Son that you will build your church, you will do these things, you will give us the keys of the kingdom. Father, would you move us individually and corporately as the church by your Spirit. Now, church, pray to the Lord that he would move in the next couple of moments. Father, as we continue to pray, I ask that now you would reveal in our hearts, right now in this moment, any area of our lives where we've taken the sails down, or maybe we are allowing the enemy to get us to focus on other goals. Maybe we're allowing the enemy to bog us down with sin that we're unwilling to confess or repent of. Father, if there's anything in our lives that are keeping those sails to be raised in our lives that are keeping us from consistent prayer, keeping us from fixing our eyes upon you. Father, open our eyes to see it, that we might confess it and repent of it. So, Father, we pray these things now in the next few moments as well. That our confidence would be in you, that our hope and our strength and our joy would be in you, that it wouldn't be in our own ability to speak well or our own strength or securities or our comforts, but Father, that our confidence would be in you. Lord, hear the prayers of your people in the next few moments that declare we want to be confident in you and you alone. So church, pray that. Father God, as we close this time of prayer, we know that it's not sufficient, it's not enough. We need to continue to pray it, and I pray that you would help us to pray these things for the rest of this week and in the weeks, months, years to come. Father, but I do pray that right now that very specifically we would begin to see a new day of your hand working in mighty and miraculous ways. For the building up of your church, both inwardly and outwardly, that we would not forsake sound doctrine, that we would not forsake the word of God, but that we also would not forsake our calling to proclaim the good news of Jesus in whatever way you lead us to. And we pray that you would do something amazing and new in that. Or not new, but continue what you promised to do 2,000 years ago. May we see that mighty hand. Father, the world right now seems to be going the other direction. It's losing hope. It's recognizing that the things they build their foundation or they build upon are crumbling, whether it's our governments or it's our ideals or our hopes and dreams in our lives. Like, we're recognizing and seeing, even in this moment, all across this country, that it's not gonna last. We have a different foundation. And where there is hopelessness there, may we have hope that you will do something mighty. Where there is fear, may we have boldness. Father, may we be your church. May we see you do mighty things. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to turn to a time of communion. And as we do that, we're going to take communion and then we're going to have a time of response. We're going to sing a song. And as we do that, I want to encourage you that if you are in this room right now and you want to talk to someone about putting your confidence in Jesus Christ, you want to have prayer, you're struggling with something, you're concerned about something, we are available to pray with you. We'll have pastors and elders available to pray, as well as other prayer counselors. And so they'll be up here. Please do not be shy to come and be prayed over. That's what the church does. If you're online, or maybe you're in this room right now and you aren't sure that you want to do that, you can always text RESPONSE to 316-207-9767. And you can just say RESPONSE and we'll get back to you and we'll talk to you about whatever it is that you might have that you want prayer over, you want to talk with. But now we enter into a time of communion. And as you try really hard to get past the cellophane and this little thing that we have, to get to the bread, we are reminded of the work of Jesus Christ. And here's the thing as we take this, for all of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ, our confidence isn't in our works, is it? None of us come into this space good enough to go before the Lord. And yet, every one of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ are good enough to come before the Lord because of what we celebrate right now. Because he broke his body on our behalf. And if you're listening to this, whether it's in this room or online, and your confidence is in yourself, your confidence is in your works, your confidence is in the fact that God's not real, your confidence is that there's nothing beyond this world, or your security and your world and your dreams, your confidence will be broken. And the only confidence you can have is in Jesus Christ. And we plead with you to put your confidence in him. For those of us who are in Jesus, we take of this bread to be reminded of his body, which is broken for us. And so, church, take the bread of the Lord. And we now drink of this cup. And the Lord reminds us of this cup and says, drink of this whenever you gather together in remembrance of my blood. In remembrance of the covenant that is being made by this blood. And so, church, recognize and see your assurance of your salvation as we drink and are reminded of the blood that is spilt for us. Father God, we thank you for this morning as we now sing one more song to the exaltation of your name. Father, I pray that you would help us to not harden our hearts to your word, that we would be open to respond in whatever way you call us to. Pray that you would encourage us in our confidence in you. Pray, Father, that you would help us to boldly sing out praises to you in the next few moments. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Prayer counselors, if you'd come up, and if you want prayer this morning, please come as we sing and let us pray over you and talk with you.